If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
This episode of The Gays Revolting is brought to you by Koala.
The old way of buying furniture sucks. Welcome to the Koala way.
Visit koala.com and get $150 off purchases over $1,000 when you use the code GAYSREVOLTING at checkout. This episode of The Gays Are Revolting is brought to you by The Wine Gallery.
The Wine Gallery wades through an ocean of dull bottles to deliver you the bottles you love.
Visit thewinegallery.com.au and get $25 off your first box when you use the code GAYSREVOLTING at the checkout.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today.
Welcome to The Gays Are Revolting, a definitive weekly news source for contemporary gays.
We put the G in LGBTQIA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
Head over to Apple Podcasts to leave your rating and review. And don't forget to book tickets to our very first live show happening in February in Melbourne.
You can also join our Facebook group by searching The Gays Are Revolting, or follow us on Twitter at Gays Revolting or Instagram at Gays Revolting Pod. Yeah!
Yes!
Hello!
All four of us back together.
Yay!
Again!
Yeah!
When's the last time all four of us have been in the same room?
Yeah, it's been ages.
A millennial ago.
We're all back again. We have Mikey back. He had trouble with his teeth last week. So sweet, he gave himself a toothache.
Aww. Aww.
You get a nice one because you're away. We have Luke. Luke, who must have been conceived on a highway because statistically that's where the most accidents happen. And we have Thomas. He's just started F45 recently. I never realized that 45 was the minimum age though.
Oh!
And me, Kyle, Pokemon trainer extraordinaire.
Yeah.
How are we all?
Yeah, cool.
Now that we're back here on Big Planet.
It's so good to be back, everyone. Yay. I had the weirdest experience at the gym this week.
Oh, really?
Okay. So, like, because last week I had off, like, my tooth was horrible, I couldn't do anything, and then this week I was like, yes, I can go back to the gym and feel good.
No.
I was like halfway through my workout, and then I just see some random guy walking around, like, not doing anything, and everyone's like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm on a mat doing some ab exercises, and he comes and sits right next to me.
Oh, no.
And is staring dead in my eyes, and I was just like, oh my god, what do I do?
Was he
Holy
hot?
Holy shit. No, he wasn't at all. If he was hot, I'd be like, hey. No. And then, like, I walked off and did another exercise, and then he did the same thing to another person.
How old was he?
Oh, I have no, I'm guessing like late 20s, early 30s, but he was clearly on something.
Oh.
Like, you could just tell that he was like out of his mind. And then
like
one of
too much pre-workout.
Yeah, possibly.
did he go there? Or like, did he wander
I don't know.
The street?
I have no idea. Oh. And so one of the staff members came and like got him, but it like took him 5 minutes to convince him to go to the office to go and sit down with him. And I was just like, okay, fine, it's all good. And then went and did some cardio, and then I see him out of the corner of my eye come and stand right in front of the machine that I'm on, and I'm standing there like,
he just wanted to be the carrot dangled in front of you to make
like freaking out. And then the staff member that got in before came, I was like, get the fuck out of here, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you're harassing my client. And then I just stood in the gym for 10 minutes after I finished, just awkwardly like, I'm gonna wait
I feel
just
dirty.
In case this person follows me home. And then I like ran home and I was like, oh my god, he knows where I live.
An extra free workout though at the end there.
Yeah, you got some extra cardio.
That's, I mean, if that's the positive you're going to take.
Was he single? Did you get his number?
No.
You know that Luke and I are looking.
That's weird because the same thing, like I had that creepy experience last week after the show.
Yeah.
My Uber driver
you said
spent the whole time telling me how it was fate that I got into his Uber, which I thought was a joke until we got closer to home and he kept touching my tattoos.
Oh.
And like saying, that's really cute, and like leaning over. And I was like, yeah, sure, they're pretty cute.
Was he cute?
No, unfortunately, because otherwise I'd be totally
which tattoos, where are they on your body?
They're just on my arms, but he was reaching over.
Yeah.
And then we got really close to home and he said, man, I just love your mustache. And then leant over and stroked my face. And so I made up this really absurd lie because I realized I was going home.
Yeah.
Where I was like, okay, cool. So, yeah, this is my work now. So I'll just...
Definitely. Don't live here.
Get out. And, yeah, I don't work here often, actually. So have a good night. It was like my house at 10 o'clock at night. All the lights were off.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, I made a new friend too, Mikey.
Beautiful.
It's not just you.
No one's following me home. Penetration.
Is that a drag queen?
It's not only a drag queen. It's
welcome to the stage.
But also a thing you do with your butt. I want to talk to you guys about penetration.
So I've never heard of this.
Oh, I think I've worked out what's wrong with your relationship. So there's a lot of guys that love it. I personally am a big fan of the old P.
It's
penile penetration.
P and P.
Yes. No.
No.
That's
no. No.
Something
no.
Else.
No.
P and P is something.
That is something else.
There are a lot of people. The more people I talk to, the more I discover there are a lot of people that don't really enjoy going full penetration.
Say it. Sound it out.
Full penetration.
There we go.
I think it's just not something that they want to do. A lot of people physically can't do it. I had an ex-boyfriend that for medical reasons couldn't bottom, and I wasn't really in a bottoming phase at the time. Yeah. So he's just sort of very rarely ever did have any penetrative sex.
I always find it interesting because, it is obviously different people's sexual preferences.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've had a few comments come through saying, like, you guys should talk about non-penetrative sex. And then I realized, that's a thing. And that puts a lot of experiences into context. Because I've had that strange dating sort of dance when you don't really know.
Yeah.
I find that so exciting.
Really?
Because most interactions now, for Luke and I at least, happen from Grindr, where that's usually on people's profiles. Like, you usually know that before you know their name.
Yeah.
So I can't find it really exciting when you're in a situation where you don't know.
Absolutely.
Sorry to interrupt.
But I love the little dance when you first have sex with someone and you're trying to position them.
And you have to use all weird phrases like, are you a big spoon or a little spoon?
Oh, no, we don't do that. I also imagine, Luke, that your dance is just sort of like you holding onto your ankles, just sort of just angling your asshole. Yeah.
They're usually trying to peel me off the ceiling or call the exorcist. But sometimes you end up doing that dance and you realize this person doesn't actually want either position.
Yeah.
It took me a while to realize that's actually a preference
as well.
Too.
Yeah,
I've had it a few times.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just weren't that into me.
I know that you do generally prefer bottoming, but do you ever top lick?
Yeah, heaps.
Oh, okay, cool. Is anyone got it like
he's the best bottom?
Yeah. Has anyone got like a no-go policy either way?
What do you mean?
I'm
both. I'm all about it.
Mikey's verse, Luke's verse, Tom's verse, Kyle.
I'm not verse.
Oh, she's a dumb top. It's just because you're young.
No, I want to be.
Yeah.
I want to learn one day and obviously with someone I love and trust and everything.
Yeah. Just gotta explore yourself. That's all.
Well, so what kind of stuff? So in the non-sex realm, then kind of stuff? In the
non-penetrative
sex realm. Here, I'll start if you like. Okay. So will that make you feel more comfortable?
Sure.
That's what I usually say. I love rimming. I can't get enough rimming. It's my favorite thing. I loved burying my face in an asshole for about 4 hours.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. I would be happy if it was just rim and blow and go. That's fine.
Rim and blow.
Yeah. I actually don't particularly like being rimmed, even though I don't mind bottoming occasionally. I don't really like getting rimmed.
Okay.
But I love rimming.
Yeah.
It's like making out with the second mouth.
I think that's the third mouth.
What's the other mouth?
I mean, isn't a vagina the second mouth?
I don't have
but
one
for
of
a
those.
Man,
don't you?
He doesn't have a vagina. I think my favorite sex position is 69.
Yeah.
For sure. Because then I can...
Oh my God,
I can
watch you and your boyfriend doing that. I would pay to watch that.
I can rim and blow at the same time.
Why? Luke doesn't.
I'm all about it. I'm just get my face all up in all the business.
I do quite like rimming while I'm getting my dick sucked by the same person. Like a 69 with her.
total asshole.
Oh my god!
But I get lazy halfway through. I'm just like, can we just like lie on our side?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm tired.
Oh,
I like now.
Hang on the bottom. Fatigue. Like I need a Red Bull.
She's a lazy arrow.
Oh my god. I think for me, my favorite foreplay is either using Ouija boards and
stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
Either that or like role play where they pretend to be breaking into my apartment or house.
Mm. And is that role play? Mm-hmm. If they don't know they're doing it.
No,
I'm just breaking into your house.
Sometimes happy accidents do happen. But it's really fun because it's a little spooky.
Have you actually done that as like a foreplay?
Yeah, it's so much fun.
Role play. Oh, wow. Okay, so you're just
like, you pretend to like you're watching a movie, you're watching Netflix or whatever, and you just like leave something on.
So wait, you were the person that broke in, or
I like to be broken in.
Wow!
So you like them to like rough you around and like tie you up,
hide in a cupboard,
find you in the cupboard, rip you out,
take some of my shit, you know,
call your name on the Hubbard.
I haven't done a lot of role play.
No, neither.
I love it.
You gotta get giggly. I don't know. It seems
too hard to stay in character.
Yeah,
because I'm just like, yeah, I'm just so into this.
Didn't we
like,
role play enough in life as straight men?
Yeah, true. Yes. And Kyle, what do you like to do? It's not penetration.
Kissing.
Yeah, kissing.
You like kissing?
Kissing's good.
Neck kissing's great. Like, if someone kisses me on the neck, it's on.
So basically, if this podcast was a Neapolitan ice cream, you're the vanilla. Is that correct?
I mean, I speak about the vanilla.
Yeah.
But...
Oh. Yeah, are you, like, implying that you have a kink side?
Maybe.
Like, what kind of kink do you like?
I can't talk about it yet. I'm getting there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm doing a lot better than when we first started this podcast. I've spoken about a lot of things.
Yeah, you are.
We will get there. We will get there one day.
I can't believe he's into scat play.
Yeah. Oh my god. Okay. Okay.
He's written it for the listeners. He's written it on a piece of paper because he can't talk about it.
Yeah. Just like, wow.
Farts in the mouth.
Oh no.
Have any of you been in a relationship with someone where you've started the relationship and they don't like penetrative sex whatsoever?
I haven't had a long-lasting relationship where it's not had penetrative sex.
Yeah. There was one person I dated for probably like 4 or 5 months. Mm-hmm. And like at first I thought, oh, is it me? Do you not?
Yeah, see, that's what I was saying. It's like you're doing the dance and you think,
yeah,
you don't realize it's a preference.
Yeah, totally. And like I just had no idea. Yeah. I was just like, and because I was younger as well, I was just like, you're not attracted to me. Totally. Like you like everything else, but you don't want to like commit to that. And it wasn't until like later that we spoke about it after we had broken up that I was just like, why didn't you want to have sex with me? And it's just like, I just don't like it.
I think it's maybe a sexual preference that hasn't quite got to the point of mainstream acceptance as Kyle Scat Play has. Do you know what I mean? Like, people are still a little bit hesitant to reveal, like, that's just how I am and that's what I'm into.
And it must be pretty stressful for people that don't like penetrative sex because there's so much expectation that
absolutely
that's what's supposed to happen, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was in a relationship once.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Hold your horses, listeners. It was really weird because I found myself becoming the
No one can say this word tonight. Penetrative.
I found that I preferred not to have sex.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Basically because the guy's dick was as big as this witch stick.
He's holding like some scary looking object, like a leather baton. It looks like it's from
the spirit
stick from like Bring It On.
Yeah.
It was like a giant spirit stick.
Yeah.
And girthy too. that was fun for like a few rounds, but in an ongoing like, oh, this could be 6 months of my life.
It sounded like the sea when someone put their ear to your asshole because it was so cavernous.
Yeah. That eventually I just was so shooketh whenever it came to sex. I was like, oh, I actually don't want to do that again.
It's a lot more effort than it needs to be.
Yeah.
Again, I feel sorry for him. Like,
it was like that be careful what you wish for kind of situation where I was like, this is not what I want. But we went, I think, a good month or maybe 2 months without actually having penetration in the bedroom just because I was...
But you were doing other stuff?
Yeah, right. I was too shook by it. And I'm pretty certain that guy thought the same thing that you thought, Mikey.
Yeah.
Is this guy not in? Yeah.
I just had a flashback to something that a very repressed memory from the hell out of my 32 from 14 years ago when I was 18 and living in London.
Oh, wow.
And this was in the days of Manhunt like the desktop.
Website. Is that when we were and hunted by crossbows and torches?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And Queen Victoria was right here. Mm-hmm. And we had no smartphones or anything like that. And I didn't have a computer because I like was 18 and just moved to London. So I'd have to go to like an internet cafe, check on, and like hope, because also when you open people's profiles, sometimes it was just like a massive dick.
Yeah.
So you'd be at the internet cafe, like trying to guard your screen, trying to check your messages and that sort of stuff. And this guy invited me over, and he was 20, 21, and he lived in, oh God, Mayfair or something like that, somewhere really, really rich and fancy. Mm. And he just wanted to be locked up in a cage. And I just go about my business around his house doing whatever the fuck I want.
Just like no looting sex. His apartment.
No, I didn't get naked. No sex. He was hot. He was like a rich kid, like inherited money or something like that, or from his parents or something like that. And so I went. I was like, this sounds amazing.
Oh, did you have to be naked while doing stuff around
No. And I wasn't have to. Like, I wanted to do this. Like, this guy was hot. Like, I would have fucked him if he wanted to.
But, like, did you get a chance to at all?
No. He was naked. So he was naked when I got there, and he's in the cage. And so all I had to do was lock the cage when I got there. He was already sitting in there naked. And then I dress, like watch TV, eating stuff out of the fridge. And as an 18-year-old with that, like, awesome. I moved to London with $1,500. I was so Australian dollars. So fucking broke when I got there, and I was so excited to just have this guy's place for a day, and he would just call things out throughout the day, and I just ignore
it. And you'd ignore it.
Yeah, that was what I was supposed to do. So that was fun. That's probably the most role play-ish kind of thing I've
ever.
That's spooky. It's like looking into the future.
Oh baby, you're never gonna be rich.
Not sure if you guys have seen the upcoming funeral of a specific social media website, Tumblr.
Oh my
God. Tumblr has announced that from December 17, all adult content will no longer be permitted on this site. And the internet is abuzz.
Yeah.
Like, the memes are great.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, the memes are so great. So it's following that whole incident because they got taken down off the App Store because of all the child pornography.
There's child porn on
there. Yeah. Oh, there's heaps of bad stuff on
there. I agree to taking down child porn.
Yeah, that's fine. They're like gone to the full extreme and just got to take everything down. And
I don't agree to that.
About it. I've seen so many petitions, so many memes. Everyone's complaining. Yeah. Everyone's saying it's the death of Tumblr, 100%. Because that's the only reason anyone goes there.
I genuinely didn't know you could do other stuff on Tumblr. I've never. Occasionally, I see an ad pop up. That's the only other function I know of Tumblr. Also, I'm too old to learn how to watch porn in any other way. Like, I don't know. Like, you can search for things, but you can go to the website and
Twitter. They're all migrating.
Yeah, everyone's saying. I'm seeing everyone saying that everyone's going to migrate from Tumblr to Twitter.
Oh, but I use Twitter for learning things. I'll just keep getting distracted.
Twitter is so fraught for me. It's just human nature. If someone's on public transport on their phone within eyeshot, you were going to look at what they look at.
Yeah.
And sometimes I like legitimately open up Twitter because I want to see news and appear.
News or nudes?
Yeah, exactly. And you'll be scrolling through and you'll be like Donald Trump and Scott Morrison and then fat fucking cock.
Yeah.
And then back to the news.
What's the difference? Yeah.
Yeah, Twitter, they literally are the same.
Twitter has no boundaries. Nice.
Yeah.
It's some real messed up stuff too.
Which I want to talk to you people about actually. Yeah. I probably could have done this off air, but because for our listeners, we have a Twitter account at Gays Revolting, which we all have access to. Mm-hmm. I logged in to check it at work because I use Twitter for like following politicians and actors and comedians and that sort of shit. So I thought, oh, I'll check the Gays Revolting Twitter account at my day job. And I logged in, and one of you has been following a whole lot of porn stars.
I don't,
and there was a whole lot of dicks.
I'm not logged in.
Fuck videos.
I haven't logged into it ever.
You haven't logged into it.
I've never logged into it.
Twitter's not my sphere.
Yeah.
he's like obviously.
Obviously.
Who else would it be?
Thank you for that. Tanya from work says thank you all as well.
Love it.
This is what I'm talking about. That is Twitter for me.
Yeah.
Is not just that, but it's literally politics.
I've never used it for more.
A lot of people are upset about the whole Tumblr thing because there's such a big like art community and
massive.
Like people who nude art and like shipping people and there's like a whole niche and
they ship people.
Like, you ship people together. You know when people make... Oh, how do you explain it?
It's like an imaginary relationship.
Imaginary relationship between characters. So it would be like Harry and Malfoy.
Oh, I wish that they were together.
Yeah.
Like, you write a story.
And they make like cartoons.
Like, like fan fiction.
Yeah. But the young people are calling it shipping.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about how my parents got here.
What about...
I did.
What about... what are some other formats I don't understand? Does Reddit have porn?
No, I only follow Drag Race on Reddit.
I know a lot of like Drag Race sex rumors. Workers and
sex work is big on
sex workers are big on Tumblr, and they're very upset.
So, yeah,
because it's like their business.
Yeah, well, that's what they use to advertise.
Also, no more free OnlyFans pictures.
That's it.
Like, the main people like download it and upload it to Tumblr.
Tumblr is to like, like, I'm not paying for that. Let's just type in the old name.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous. That too. Oh my god, there's so much in there. What day did you say? The 17th.
17.
So like, you can download all your content that you have on your page previous to that, but after that, anything explicit will be completely removed. So it's stuff like female nipples and like penises, and like there's sort of a gray area with like artistic nudity.
They're saying you can like dispute if it's like a journalistic story or something in this nudity
or historical
stuff. As long as it's not in a sexual way, if it's just general
if it's
nudity.
A sex act, and they have robots that are like learning the algorithms to take or take
but that's
down,
a so funny learning. Thing is that algorithm.
This is how the machines take over inside of Tumblr.
The news articles I've read is about how bad that algorithm is, and that it's actually picking up pictures of Garfield and like flagging someone wrote it out being like I posted
it. But isn't that what Facebook already uses?
I don't know if it's some like version of that algorithm that they're using, but if you look it up, people are getting banned, or well, their images are getting taken down, the cartoons of Garfield, not the sexual ones.
Yeah.
There's sexual Garfield pictures?
Yeah. Oh,
there's sexual everything
it's
pictures.
Tumblr.
It's Tumblr. Someone posted like an ambient video of like 90s screensaver things. That got picked up by the algorithm as
well. But that is offensive,
The comparison that a lot of people are angry about is that there are still blatant white supremacist accounts on Tumblr.
Yeah, that's all that neo-Nazi.
And they seem to have some problem with an algorithm to pick up swastikas.
Yeah, which is such a simple thing.
Which seems like a really obvious pattern to be able to pick up.
Oh, that's why I can see like the Windows background being taken down. Yeah, that makes sense.
It is genuinely the only way I watch porn anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I had two wanks before I came here tonight.
Yeah. Oh, God. Did I shake your hand today?
Yeah, you did. Oh. And because I know I've only got till the 17th, so I'm just cramming as many
it in. Yeah, I saw that meme, and someone said people uploading adult content on Tumblr is like the band playing on Titanic.
Oh yeah, I saw that today.
I was like, that's great.
Is amazing.
So good. I also read an article. There was a study that a lot of the adult pages are run by females, and a lot of women explore their sexuality via Tumblr, and they're one of the biggest users. So this will be like a big hit.
I know a lovely woman that comes to my live show. Trying not to make it
What's
clear who
name?
It is. No, because she anonymously runs a gay porn blog. She's really into gay porn, and it's an incredibly well followed. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That's a thing.
Do you think someone will see an opportunity here and just make a complete spitting image of Tumblr but allow porn? Because everything will just migrate to that. That would be a great business.
Like, that's the thing. They're going to lose so much traffic. Yeah. Like, I will not be surprised if they close down in the next couple of years.
And is this what happened to Vine? Am I right in thinking that?
It's Vine. Was Vine pornographic?
No.
Vine had porn.
Why did Vine die?
Did it?
If I'm ever in a bad mood, I just watch compilation videos of Vines.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
No, so Vine definitely had porn. And then I remember it got banned. And I don't know if that's related to how it ended, because I don't know anything about social
media. Do it for the Vine.
Yeah.
Vines work better than my antidepressants. Like,
it's so good. And then all those classic meme Vines.
I imagine you enjoy like compilations of Vines of kids getting hurt.
Yeah, totally. And for those of you that don't know what Vine is,
you made me drop my croissant.
Yeah, they're just like short little clip videos of like 7 seconds, and like heaps of comedians are on there, and they're freaking hilarious. So look them up on YouTube because they're so good.
About the intention and span I have for porn as well, and about as long as I need too.
Yeah, that's it.
I've stopped looking at porn. Like, honestly, my life is so sad right now. I just jack off to the Uber Eats menu.
Oh, yeah.
I get home, I open that up, and I look at the available in 20 minutes, and I go, fuck yeah. But I find it sad that in 2018 we're sort of restricting pornography.
Yeah.
I find it a really weird move commercially.
Mm.
I don't see it being successful in any way other than a company maybe trying to chop off one of its own limbs. Like, are they doing this on purpose just so they don't have to do Tumblr anymore?
I think the reason why they're doing it is so that they don't have to deal with people coming at them for all the unfortunate like child porn and the white supremacists that are on there, because like there's only so much that they can do, so they're just going to wipe it all instead of continually monitoring it.
Instead of moderating content.
Moderating content,
they're just going to wipe it all. Everything.
Yeah.
Because that would be like my work saying, okay, we're a psychology practice, but we're not going to provide therapy.
No.
It's very, yeah. Yeah, it's very weird.
And I think all of these people are just going to go to Twitter.
Yeah.
And
Twitter's like, fuck yeah. Yeah. Bring it.
And our Noah's Ark will follow every single one of them.
Oh my God. Mikey, you were just on a wine tour.
Oh, that's right.
I went on the most amazing wine tour on the weekend, yeah. And we did a food pairing with it. Oh. It was so good. There was, yeah, like this beautiful Shiraz that we had with this lamb and like this beautiful Costellas, and I was like, oh my gosh. I'm dying.
Fancy. Yeah.
And then one of the other girls had like the fish and white wine, and I don't know, it was beautiful. I wanted to go
back. Yeah, because you have to have white wine with fish.
Yeah,
right?
White wine.
Red
with
wine's
fish.
A
no-no. No, it's a big no-no. But no, it was very delicious. Very
I like
fruity.
To match wine with wine.
Well, the good news is you don't have to actually go all the way to the Yarra Valley to get a wine pairing anymore, Mikey.
Oh, beautiful.
That's right. When you go to the winegallery.com.au, you can actually get advice with the wines that you're getting. You tell them the kind of things that you like drinking, yeah, and then they send you wines that suit your palate, mm, but they also tell you what kind of foods you can have with them.
Oh. So what wine goes with choking?
Yeah.
It's hot wine.
Is there a breakfast option?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so my matching is generally price to price.
Yeah.
Which is $12 for wine, perfect. $12 for a meal. But I think the winegallery.com.au does a much better job of that, yeah, and you can get $25 off your first box when you use the code GAZEREVOLTING at the checkout.
But what goes with fishy?
Do you know what? Yeah. I'm going to be honest here. One of the biggest fights I've ever had with an ex-boyfriend was over picking a sofa.
Was it in
what?
IKEA? The end of relationships?
No, it was picking it online. Oh, and the problem was delivery time, color.
Yeah.
Yeah, delivery can take up to like 14 weeks normally, or some crap like that.
And if we wanted soft or hard.
You always want it hard.
Yeah, it was a choice between me or Tom, basically.
The good thing about Koala is that they're ready to go in 4 minutes.
Also like Tom.
Also much like
soft Tom. Friend Tom. They are really good. I do have a friend who has one, and I've done many recoveries on that couch, and incredibly comfortable. You can nap on there, you can spoon on there if you're lucky enough to go home with someone. Or, like me, if you don't go home with someone, you can just have a little binge and have your Uber Eats on there. It's delicious.
Perfect ergonomic support.
A little bit of Netflix. Yeah. Yeah.
And much like Luke, it has timber feet, a wide armrest, looks amazing, fashionable and grey.
Neutral tones.
Neutral tones. All about the neutral tones.
So check out koala.com and get $150 off purchases over $1,000 when you use the code GAZEREVOLTING at the checkout.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So the queen of all queens has released an amazing track, and I am in love.
People are living. I think I know what you're talking about. People are living.
Thank you, next.
Yeah.
Yes. Miss Ariana Grande has released a beautiful song, pretty much saying like, thank you to my exes for everything you taught me, but see you later.
It's a good song.
Yeah, it's a very, very good song. And then she dropped the film clip for it.
The film clip is better than the song. In my opinion.
I think the film clip made the song. Yeah. Because like, when it came out, I was like, yes, this is a bop. And then like, I actually saw the film clip and I was like, holy shit.
It's broken records.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it is her first song to ever be number one on the Billboard 100 charts.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That big.
The very first one that she's ever had, which is amazing. And she also broke the YouTube record for.
Yeah.
Like, she got 54 million watches in the first 24 hours, which bet BTS, which they were at like 49 million.
Oh my God.
On one of their films.
I didn't realize it was that big.
So, for those of you that haven't seen it, how dare you?
Terrible homosexuals.
She does like 4 remakes of like early 2000s, like late 90s chick flick movies, yeah. which is really cool. So she does Mean Girls and she plays Regina George.
So good.
And she also does Bring It On and she plays Torrance. And I was just like, yes, Torrance, you shake those pom-poms.
It's like all the best movies you could reference.
Yeah, yeah. And then she does Suddenly 30 as Jenna Rink.
Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But her character
also,
is Jenna Rink. Yeah.
That has a different title in South Africa. It's 13 going on 30.
Yeah, that's the same in New Zealand.
That's really weird.
Yeah. So
why?
Weird.
Anyway, that's really
And cool. the last one she does is Legally Blonde as Elle Woods.
Yes. Oh, and then who's the
Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh, Jennifer Coolidge is
Yeah, there's
She's
a celebrity.
So good. You want some cookie? It's so
love
moist.
It.
Jennifer Coolidge is amazing.
She's so funny.
She had so many different like celebrities in there that I was so surprised to see.
Yeah, because
Troye Sivan, yeah. Kris Jenner as Regina George's right, mom. Yeah. What the
and
hell?
Then, do you think she was chosen for that? Because there's so many memes of her like with the camera being like, "You're doing great, sweetie." Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Without
and
a doubt.
Then that chick from Dynasty was
Liz Gillies. Yeah, she played Caddy. Yeah, no, so good. So she's really good friends.
And
with
also
her
original cast from the films.
Yes, and Aaron Samuels.
So Jonathan Bennett, who
and the girl
Aaron
that
Samuels.
Said that, like, she slapped me in the face or whatever.
Awesome. Punched me in the face.
She punched me in the face. Yeah.
Oh,
good on her getting another gig.
Yeah, she's really struggling.
For me, the movies that she was referencing in that song, that's recent pop culture for me. Like, I had to look up which one Ariana is.
Are you?
But I watched the video clip and I really liked it. I thought it was
really
fun.
Good.
I love that Troye Sivan's now have been in two like movie remake 90s video clip things. Yeah.
What was the other one?
1999.
Charlie XCX.
Charlie XCX.
What the fuck, Kyle?
I don't know what
I want to go back. Back to
okay. I'm not. If I say no, will you stop
so
singing?
I'm cool. I heard it playing at a pub where I hosted trivia night, and I was like, this is cool. So, I want to go back to 1999.
So that music video
is
also like an old school one.
So they remake the Matrix,
Titanic
Spice Girls video clip, Fancy, Clueless.
Yeah.
I really like Ariana Grande. Mm. I don't love the song.
Yeah.
I think she has way better songs. So I'm surprised that this is the biggest one. I think what's made it so big is the meme-worthy content that like is so many, like that just that phrase "thank you next" is caught on so much. I mean, I'm loving using it for like everything in my life. Mm. I'm like "thank you next" to anything that happens to me. Also, I feel a bit weird about the whole using her exes when one of her exes recently died. Like, I feel like
that was a thing.
Yeah.
That's a bit touchy. Like, it's a good sassy song. You're like, haha, fuck your ex, but timing.
I think also people love some spice. Spicy hot fucking tea.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of teasers. This is a very modern way to market a pop song, is to tie it into your personal life.
Mm-hmm.
Tease it on Twitter.
Yeah, because it's not even on her album. It's just like she just
It's just a buzz track. And like tease it on Twitter as like playing into some known public drama with Pete Davidson.
She knows her market well.
Yeah. And it took off. You know, there are references in the video to his big dick and big dick energy.
Yeah.
And it's just, you watch that video and that's peak current gay culture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's getting all those notes. Mm. And it's why it's breaking records is... Yeah. That's exactly what people are thirsty for at the moment.
She's giving the gays everything they want.
Do
you think the... Just bring it back to 1999, that these two video clips are sort of the gays doing the same thing that Donald Trump's doing?
What?
And to expand on that.
Backtrack. Yeah.
This referencing this nostalgia thing, this like, you know, in Donald Trump's world, it's make America great again. Let's go back to the way things used to be. Let's remember the good old times. I want to connect myself with what you remember as being a good thing.
Yeah.
These two video clips that have come out in a very short period of time that are of very similar style, if you ask me, are both referencing our... And 1999's not as queer, but they're, you know, the Titanic and the Spice Girls and the Justin Timberlake stuff is all pretty gay. You think there's sort of like something in that there's money to be made from people.
Oh, totally.
So feeling nostalgia.
Yeah.
I stand Charlie XCX. She's my hero.
Yeah.
But I will admit that she was 7 years old in 1999.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Troye Sivan was 4.
Yeah, I know.
So there is some money to make. I think it's a really queer song. It's got
it's great. It's got
gay house piano backing. It's a banger. But there is definitely, I think, queer baiting with both these videos.
Yeah.
But I think you have to look at the artists behind it and say, are these people involved in the LGBT community, and they both,
which they both are heavily.
Brother, said, did you guys see the article that was on website run by Grindr, IntoMore.com?
Yeah. Okay.
And they had an article. Now, I only found out about this article because of the reaction that people had to it.
Yeah.
Which was being pretty pissed off about the article, where they said Ariana Grande's "Thank You Next" music video is surprisingly anti-queer, transphobic, and promotes blackface.
What? Yeah. Oh, because people always get on her about her tan. Hey.
Yeah, so there's like a scene where she's lying on the bed with the blonde hair, where she looks darker than she does in the other scene. So this person that wrote the article feels that that is blackface.
Oh,
the
goodness.
Person in drag, who I think is a YouTube star, I don't know, you young people would know, is transphobic. And the anti-queer stuff, one of the reasons for it being anti-queer is that she pushes Troye Sivan out of the way, like he's not important, and that's anti-queer.
What a stretch.
The general reaction that people had to this article was that it was someone trying to post a hot take, but it was a shit hot take. But the reaction people had was so strong that the website had to remove the name because they received death threats.
People give out death threats very easily these days. They're like, I'm going to kill you. Oh.
Yeah. Do take me back to 1999. Yeah. I don't want any more death threats. But so I thought that was a little bit far taking it.
That's horrible.
Well, I think it was a little bit far on both parts.
Yeah, I think they both took it too far. Anyone should be able to publish their opinion online. Yeah.
Yes. But there is also a responsibility to the editor to make sure that it's...
It was clickbait.
Yeah.
It was clickbait. Yeah. Anyone, I think, with an ounce of ethnicity in them can tell when something is blackface and not.
Yes.
That's it.
And I think to throw around that phrase and to point fingers at people for blackface is very dangerous to do actually, because it actually incites racial tension.
Yeah. It does. I think it also takes away from how, as a white person, I can only learn about this, but my feeling would be that true blackface is a really incredibly offensive thing.
Yeah.
And when you start blurring the line between what blackface is, you sort of get into this dangerous area where people don't realize how offensive blackface is.
It's just inciting, I feel. Yeah. And that article was a real stretch.
Such a stretch. For you to sit there and say that Ariana Grande is like spreading like anti-trans, like, and being against queer people is ridiculous. Like, she's the biggest LGBTQIA advocate. Like, she has a gay brother. Like, so she's outwardly said, I'm all for equality. Like,
she was a judge on RuPaul's, wasn't she?
Yeah,
she loves the gays. That's her, like, whole market. Yeah. And then, like, tweeny little girls.
I mean, being a judge on RuPaul's does not make you a good person. I would just like to make that very clear.
That is very true. Shania Twain.
But
she was so fucking boring. Here.
At the same time, I feel like we should be able to call out things online and not receive death threats.
Absolutely.
Ariana will never comment on that.
No.
She will not.
There's no need.
Too ridiculous. Yeah. No need.
But the reaction is so intense, and I think...
But I think this person should be somewhat reprimanded, because they're essentially using people's suffering to further their career by getting clicks. Like, look, lots of websites use clickbait, but when you're talking about anti-queer, transphobic, and racism stuff, you're effectively using people's experiences and people's suffering to get clicks, which should also be called out.
I hate clickbait so much. The worst clickbait I ever got, Terry Irwin missing. I was like, oh my God, she's like gone missing. And then you click on it and it's Terry Irwin missing Steve Irwin. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Everybody's like, suffering.
I'd click on
even
that.
Even the Aussies.
100%. I like the one that says dermatologists hate her. You know,
they'll hate you for what you can do.
She's 76, but dermatologists hate her because she looks 25. I click it every fucking time. Not even joking.
Never learn anything.
But don't send people death threats.
No, please don't.
And I think we don't know this.
Don't tell me what to do. I'll kill you.
Unless it's Luke, because he finds it foreplay.
Yeah.
Did you guys like the Sweetener album? Not you, Tom. You obviously don't even know.
At first, I was very half-half.
Yeah. Like, I liked her last one better.
I liked her last one better because, like, I think her first three albums, they all have similar sort of flow to it. They hit the high notes. They have, like, she belts it out and it's great. And I didn't quite understand where she was going with this album. And especially, like, having Pharrell mix a lot of the tracks as well. I was listening to it and, like, half the songs I was like, yes, this is sick. And the other half I was just like, what am I listening to?
What's your favorite song?
My favorite song, it's a toss-up between Breathing.
Yeah.
And that's like, I think it's Every Time.
Really?
Yeah.
Every Time's really good. Is Say Goodnight and Go, the cover of Imagine.
Say Goodnight and Go.
Fuck, I love that song. So when I saw that title, I got so excited.
So Say Goodnight and Go is mine and Josh's song. Like, if you listen to it, It like it sort of describes the way that our relationship started,
so cute.
And like one of these days you'll miss your train and you'll stay with
my
me,
heart.
And like because that's when I was traveling back and forth from Frankston, and he's just like, this reminds me of you.
That's so fucking cute.
What's our song, Luke?
1999.
I was gonna go the Monster Mash. But yeah, cool. Yeah.
My favorite Ariana memory, I think, is actually going to Pop Chops, who threw a like DJ listening party for Sweetener, and JB and I were so pumped. He doesn't know anything about Ariana, but he was just coming, and we got in the Uber to go to Pop Chops, and we had had such a hot Uber run to the last Pop Chops. He was laughing at all of our jokes. Mm-hmm. He thought we were so fucking funny that we're like, we're going to kill this Uber ride.
Yeah,
because mainly we just love attention from Uber drivers.
Just from Uber drivers.
Yeah. And we got in the Uber. We were driving there and we were telling him how we're going to Pop Chops and we're going to hear Sweetener for the first time.
Yeah.
Because our friends are throwing a party and it's going to be great. He didn't give us any attention. And then God Is a Woman came on the radio. And I was like, this is the song. This is Ariana Grande. This is what we're going to go listen to. And the Uber driver reached over and turned to the radio.
Oh, my God. That sends a clear message.
Just like,
all right, message.
Like, we really bombed this Uber trip.
Wow. How was your Uber rating after that?
It's always pretty bad, to be honest. Yeah. I think the album's pretty consistent.
Yeah.
I like consistency in pop albums.
The Sweetener?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's like an old Madonna album where it's like consistent production.
Oh, I know her.
So I rate it.
Yeah, I think as I listened to it more, I started to understand why she was doing it. And I watched a bunch of interviews that she had done where people were just like, what's with this new sound? What's going on? And she's just like, I just wanted to change it up. I wanted to sing in a lower octave and do something different.
I'm always mystified when she has a hairstyle that isn't her stock standard hairstyle.
Yeah,
she has a ponytail. Like,
what?
Love you, Ari.
Yes, love you, Ari.
Listen to our podcast.
Yes, please.
So to finish off for the week, I just wanted to talk a bit about jazz music.
Tom finished off twice music. Before
Not
recording.
Sports. I didn't talk about sport. Okay, so we talked about pop stars, but something that's been in my timeline a lot, something that's becoming more and more important to everyday life is basically being as aware and up to date with current trans issues, trans visibility, and I think also normalizing trans issues. A really interesting thing I saw recently was someone posting on Twitter saying everyone should have their pronouns in their profile because let's just normalize that behavior. It won't be weird in 5 years' time if we all do it now. But we've talked on it on the show before. It's like, how do you educate yourself about these issues? How do you know what to do or what not to do or what to think? Full disclaimer, none of us identify as trans well. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about this from our perspective and our experiences. And I guess having a show that puts us in a spot where we are actually educating people as well. I think a new tricky line to walk with our trans brothers and sisters is misgendering people. I don't think we've all really mastered exactly how to approach it, what we can and can't ask. I've made mistakes in the past.
Absolutely. Totally.
I think the worst thing I've ever done is overcompensated after making the mistake. It's something that took me a while,
like,
to
drawing attention to it.
I think we've experienced it as gay men,
like digging a hole.
When people like assume our sexuality and when they find out we're gay, they say, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I actually like gays.
I have a gay best friend.
I went to a gay club once. It was great. It was a hen's party.
And it's just, it feels awful. I've caught myself doing that when misgendering a trans person. Oh, actually, I'm so sorry. Like, I think about this all the time, and I have a trans friend, and my friends are gender fluid, and realize you're a fucking dickhead. Like, just apologize.
Like, you didn't need to go on the spiel. Like,
apologize and don't do it again.
Just make a conscious effort to remind yourself in that moment, just to be like, it's fine, it's okay. Like,
absolutely.
I mean, I have a few friends who have transitioned now. I definitely struggled because I knew them as their born gender.
Yes.
And then as their other name to when they've transitioned. I think it was more that first few interactions with them that I would accidentally misname them or like misgender them. like as you said, you literally just in the moment just be like, oh, I'm so sorry. And like 9 times out of 10, they're just like, it's okay. I've still got a couple of acquaintances that I know that I still unconsciously do it. And I'm just like, yeah. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, and I just need to think about it more, like when I am with them, and just be more conscious. And like, I absolutely have done that before where you are talking about that person to someone else and you're misgendering them. And then like, if pick it up,
totally,
you're just like, oh, hang on a second.
It's
like,
so true, because when you talk to someone face to face, you don't, I'm like, you know, I'm talking to you right now. I'm not saying I'm talking to him.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're talking about someone and they're a third party in the conversation, you use gender pronouns naturally, like him or her.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Although you're not saying it to their face, it's still not.
It's easier
to
mess up while talking about them to somebody else than talking directly to them.
Yeah. I think this is the thing that everyone's sort of learning as we go, and we should be, as we always talk about, trying to find out as much information as possible. But, you know, behavioral changes take a little bit of time. I know personally, I definitely have made this mistake before. I also will admit to the fact that many years ago, I used to use the word tranny, which is not an acceptable term. And I definitely have removed that from my vocabulary 100%.
Yeah.
For a lot of people that are for the first time being exposed to the trans world and trans culture, a learning progress. And I hope that as many people as possible are opening their eyes and their hearts and are trying to better themselves.
Yeah.
One thing I will say, though, from the trans people that I do know and I am friends with, there seems to be this like misconception in the world that trans people are really sensitive and have a really thin skin. Mm. And I feel like that's sort of perpetrated by the politically right wing, that they make it out as if, you
they
know,
want to be the victim with everything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, or that trans people are somehow like thin-skinned and really big victims and stuff. That could not be further from the truth. Yeah. Like, they are the strongest people. As gay men, we have been through a lot of shit.
Yeah.
We couldn't imagine the shit that most trans people have had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And they have incredibly thick skins. They absolutely can take a joke.
Yeah.
They absolutely are very understanding if you make a mistake. They're just going to remind you when, oh, if you take a joke too far, they're going to tell you you've taken a joke too far. If you make a mistake, they're going to let you know that you've made a mistake so that you can learn to adjust that sort of thing. And I have found that for the most part, the trans people that I am friends with or that I have met where I have made a mistake, it's just a simple, oh, hey, by the way, you made a mistake, and you apologize and move on. You're right.
Yeah. You don't need to buy them a bouquet of flowers.
No, you don't need to move to another country and change your name. You know, it's fine.
Yeah.
And names is an important thing. We can learn individuals' names. We can learn individuals' genders. That's it's not a hard thing to learn.
To be honest, I don't have a lot of contact with trans people, but I was really happy to actually meet a beautiful trans woman on the weekend while I was out partying and drinking. Dawn Lee, I'm not sure.
I love Dawn Lee.
I love her. She's so nice. And I had that thought afterwards. I'm like, have I used the right pronouns? But I was, I just thought I was using what everyone else was using, so it must be the right one.
Yeah.
But I was really happy to like finally meet like a beautiful trans person, and I'm really excited to become friends with her, and she's had me on all social media.
Can I just say, she is absolutely amazing.
She's so cool. I'm like me, please.
Like, she does like Get Ready With Me live Facebook videos. And so like, she'll be like doing her makeup, and then she'll like call out all this racist shit that's happening, all the anti-trans stuff that's happening in the community, and everyone watches. Like, it is amazing. So if anyone...
Is this on Facebook?
This is on Facebook.
Because I follow her on Facebook. I love her updates on Facebook, but I've watched her live videos.
Yeah, her live videos are
amazing. I'm excited to see live.
Check them out when she's doing them.
Yeah.
I think talking about this made me realize like how gendered our experiences are just day to day. You know, when you think about making assumptions about people's gender or talking, and even the way that we speak about each other just day to day is, I'm not going to say the word intrinsically, is just fundamentally gendered through history.
Yeah.
At my work, one of the first things I did was change our registration form to have a other or
unspecified
gender option. And I caught myself realizing that you would just automatically gender people through everyday conversation. It's just part of how we interact. Yeah. And I think the real next step in diversity and acceptance and equality is starting to change a few of those norms, that it's not the first thing that you use when you're describing or introducing a person or talking about a person is their gender. Yeah. It may be their name instead, or what they do, or whatever, or who they are. But it's just really tricky if you even just try to get through a day without referencing a person's gender.
Yeah.
You start to realize how often you do it. And I think it also ties into some of our, like, not to get all high horsey, but into some of our gender norms as well, when you realize like, oh, I'm assuming this person's a man and because of his status or his title. And it's really interesting to think about on a day-to-day basis. Just go, fuck, I've gendered six people that I've just got emails from, or that I've got a mental health care plan from, and I have no actual idea. And this is a fundamental change in thinking where I just need to get rid of that part of my brain.
I always wonder about languages that are so heavily like male, like female, like Italian or French.
French has a new well, it's not new, but it's being used more and more regularly now. I'm not smart enough to remember what it is, but because I was wondering about that and we spoke to Jacob Thomas about that, who was a wonderful trans activist who appeared on the show in one of our very early episodes. And they spoke about what they're doing in France, and that there's a third accent to put on.
Okay, cool.
Like that. But yeah, that's something.
Yeah, because I know in Chinese culture, because my boss is Chinese, and I've asked her, because she misgenders everyone.
Yeah.
She calls like...
trans or not.
Trans or not. Just everybody is misgendered. And I asked her why she thinks that that happens. And she's like, well, in Chinese, we don't gender people.
Oh,
like, our language is Chinese just people. Our language. We don't describe people as he or she. Obviously, we like you just physically can see whether they present masculine or feminine, but we just don't use those words in our culture.
Really nice.
And I was just oh, that makes so much sense why you keep calling me she, and I am clearly a man. But no, it's interesting.
Yeah, I think it might be the same in the Philippines, because whenever I've gone there, I've got misgendered. Well, I won't use that term because I'm not trans. But I've been called she, her, he, him, like every single pronoun, because my relatives just can't get a grip on the gender pronouns that I think we have in English.
I had a really refreshing moment a few weeks ago. I was doing a photo shoot for work, and our company was there, and there was another company there, and one of our people were looking through their emails for an email from the other company, and they were talking about how the other company has added their pronouns in their sign off, their email sign off.
Oh, really?
That's a good idea.
And it was really refreshing, because everyone else there was heterosexual and cis, and it was really refreshing to hear them all say, oh, that's a fantastic idea. Oh, that would make things so much easier, because often when you're talking to someone, you can't see them or whatever, and it's just so, like, if you're talking on the phone or emails or whatever, there's no visual representation. What a great idea to put that at the bottom of the emails. We should start doing that as well.
Totally.
And I thought, oh god, that's nice to hear heterosexual cis people acknowledging that it's easy to do something as little as that, that makes a difference, a huge difference to people that might be struggling with these kind of issues.
Yeah. Aww. One time I went into Franco Costa. What is it called?
Franco Costa.
What is it called?
Wait, what are you talking about?
Franco Costa. It's like
Franco Costa.
It's an icon. Oh my gosh.
What is happening? Okay.
Anyway, I went into this really
it's a furniture store.
It's an iconic Melbourne furniture store that was
an old Italian guy, is it, or Greek?
And his furniture is from the 60s and 70s.
It still is.
Yeah, it's like literally dust on it from the 70s. It's pretty incredible.
And it's still going?
Yeah.
I think he's just sold the store. I think it's getting renovated now. I think it's closing down. Yeah. Anyway, I'm really excited to see how this gets connected to this.
I wanted to tell you guys that I went to
Franco Costa. Oh, story.
You went to buy a new 4-post bed.
I don't know why I went, but I went with one of my non-binary friends. Mm. We were just like, let's go in here. It's so camp and tacky. And one of the old, like, 60-year-old Italian or European men came up behind us and was like, g'day, boys. What are you guys looking for today?
Aggressively trying to
gender my friend. And we turned around and I realized in that point that I had to be the person that would say something. And I think that's a little thing we can do, is just, if you're ever with a non-binary or trans person that doesn't feel comfortable, is just to correct and say, well, I'm just having a browse and they, you know, are also.
Do you think it's like, it would be very confusing to an older person though?
Yeah, I don't really care.
With that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I don't really care if it's confusing.
They're not, not
they can learn
babies.
New things.
They can actually pick things up.
Yeah.
My dad's in his 70s and now he knows about fisting and stuff. So
you'd have to.
It's happening in his backyard.
Oh, not even in the house. At least you're considerate that way.
I'm kind of over that argument of older people can't.
Yeah.
Adapt.
Giving them a break.
Just I'm happy to not make them stand on a tram, but they can learn new words.
No, I'm happy to make them stand on a tram. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We have had a great time. I hope you've had a good time listening.
It's been great. Yay. Don't forget to follow us. Or join our group on Facebook.
Yes.
And like we have Twitter as well and Instagram.
Do you know what we don't have?
You know what we don't have, though? Tumblr. So don't follow Tumblr.
Don't follow
Cancel it all.
There'll be no interesting content there.
And of course, if you enjoy the four of us being in the same room, you can experience it in real life.
Ooh. You can be in that room too.
Yeah, we are doing a live show in February in Melbourne, and you can book tickets at midsummer.org.au.
Yes.
Tickets are selling.
I think there's only like 20 or 30 left.
Yeah, so if you actually want to see this and see how much
see our producer
edits out of the show.
If you would love to see this train wreck in real life.
Book a ticket, damn it.
That's us. Four people. We did it. We got together. We fucking did it.
Oh, I love you guys.
Love you, boys.
Until next week. Two episodes left for this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you'll have to come see our live show because I'd like to think you'll be fun. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.